Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Faith Pell.
Hey, this is Bella Perron.
And this is Ashley Supa. We're the band Plush, and you're listening to Tom and Zeus on the Shout It Out Loudcast.
That's right. We're back with another episode of Dorm Damage, the show where anything and everything is on the table and the table gets smashed. It's spooky season, people. And you know what that means, right, Zeus?
Yes. It's Tom and Zeus's Halloween Picks Volume 2. We did this last year, Tom, and this is now our first annual type episode for Dorm Damage, our second Halloween picks. I mean, and we talked about it last time. This is one of the reasons we really want to do this show, because we needed to get that release. Where can Tom talk about this thing that you're very well known for, pulling large pieces of furniture out of your ass and for having a vast knowledge about horror movies?
Yeah.
So we're up to volume two. If you're looking for last year's episode, it's on Dorm Damage, episode 3.
Yep.
Look around October back then of 2022 and take a look at the movies Tom recommended there. I recommended some as well.
Yep.
We're on to volume 2, Tom.
That's right. Yeah. And my list. So when I do my list, I try to pick out a couple classics, but most of my list, I try to go like deep, deep, deep undercover. Stuff that's like only available on streaming or stuff that you might not have ever heard of but I mix in some things that's kind of relatively well known. So, we'll just have some fun here. And hopefully if you guys are interested in these, most of the things on my list are either available for streaming or rental, depending on what you have for streaming services or whatever, or cable. They're pretty much readily available. They might not all be free, but they should be available.
Yeah, for me, mine are more generic, more popular, pop culture movies that we all kind of know. And a lot of times, horror is not my genre, but there are some that stick out. And we're picking 10. They're not in any order. I don't think we're not ranking them as our best. And some of these could have been on last year's episode. We're just throwing movies together that we think people should check out. So, Tom, I'm going to go first this time. So, for me, the movie that really inspired a lot and changed, I think, is changed horror and became a fucking impact type of movie. And that is the original Scream.
Mm. Yo, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we were in college in the 90s. So Party of Five was on. I loved Nev Campbell. She was like this cute girl next door. And obviously we all loved Courtney Cox at the time from Friends and stuff. And so I was immediately hooked. Just the fact that they spun the horror movie, like they were in on the joke.
Yep.
And it was written by, I think it's Kevin Williamson that wrote that. He was really into pop culture. He's got
Wes Craven from Nightmare on Elm Street. Yep.
The whole, everything, the way they were like, kind of like the kids would kind of tell you like, oh, this is going to happen. And they were kind of in on the joke, and that fucking crazy ending where like the murderer gets revealed. Awesome.
Yeah.
And it also had that opening beginning that just threw all moviegoers aside. Oh, it's Drew Barrymore. And then she gets that call.
Yep.
And now you got the ghost face guy who's now legendary as a murderer. He's up there. You can put his face up there with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Jason's hockey mask, and Michael Myers' mask. You know who Ghostface is, kind of.
Yeah.
Loved it. I thought it was well-written, well-done. Some of the sequels are better than others. Mm-hmm. The original Scream is just, If you've never seen it, it's a great movie in and of itself.
Yeah. And it still survives. They're still making sequels, and some of the more recent sequels are actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
But yeah, when that came out, horror was kind of in a weird place, but that was like self-referential, like meta.
Exactly.
Like it was
exactly,
and it captured, like you said, it captured the audience. That was when, like, I Know What You Did Last Summer. They took all these beautiful people from TV and put them in horror movies. So you had like the hot chicks, the good looking guys, and
it attracted everything.
Yeah. It was a whole new generation. Yeah.
I can fucking date it for you, because then when I went in and saw Scream 2.
Yep.
It was the first time I came home and I went to a chat room.
Oh,
and people were talking about, like, did you guys just see it? Who the murderer is? And people were just all talking. I was so enthralled with it. I really got into the franchise. Like, I was in there with other people fucking, you know, oh, the killer is so-and-so, but why did it, you know, all of a sudden I'm like, that's the internet. That was the high point of the internet. It's gone fucking down the toilet since then.
Yep.
But that's my number 10.
Okay. All right. Now my number 10, again, these really aren't in order, but my number 10 is obvious. It's definitely not as popular as Scream, but if you're into horror and if you're into like that found footage, you know, Blair Witch type stuff, there's a movie called Wreck. It's REC, as in record, like on a video camera record. It's called REC. It's a Spanish language film. There was a US remake, and the US remake was called Quarantine. So it's a movie about a
starring Jericho and PJ Farley.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So it's a movie about this like Spanish news team that their assignment is going to be just to follow around like a fire department kind of thing, like going to a call at like a, and what happens is shit goes fucking sideways badly. And this is, I'm telling you, American horror is great, but Spanish horror, Asian horror, they do things so differently where they really know how to tap into shit. So I would recommend the Spanish version. The US version is really good too. There's a couple sequels, but the original is awesome. It's usually like REC, like all capital letters, you know, like I said, a record button on a video camera, because it's all like live, like found footage type shit. It's fucking scary as shit. Not a lot of things scare me. This is a good one.
Wow. That sounds like a good concept.
It's good.
All right. Number 9 for me is a big budget movie, Tom.
Yep.
And you're going to be like, huh? And that is the 2005 version of King Kong.
Oh, okay.
I have this nightmare I've had since I was a little kid.
Okay.
And that is me in my house, and I'm in a 2-story house and looking out and seeing bushes. Giant trees just moving and moving, and all of a sudden, like a fucking giant, like monster is like gorilla. It's come, like, you can't escape it. You're not gonna outrun it.
Yeah,
I've had that forever. That stays with me. When I saw this movie, it's not so much as Kong, but yeah, that does fear me. Like all of a sudden, when he comes in the window and he sees you and he sees the girl and he's like, "I'm gonna fucking kill you." That, but it's those. Like everything is giant on that album. And when those bugs start fucking eating people, those nasty bugs, that is the spookiest shit. Like, I can't deal with that stuff.
I've never seen it. Never saw it.
Oh, no. Yep. You would like it. It's really good.
Okay.
And Naomi Watts is hot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's great.
Peter Jackson did a great job doing it. It's just.
Okay.
A whole different fucking thing vibe. And I'm telling you, that dream is still there. Fucking gorilla just chasing me through the fucking woods.
Oh.
Anyway.
Good. I'm glad you picked one I didn't see. Awesome. All right. Okay. Another one. So this, if you're into horror and stuff, you've probably heard about this. This came out in 2011. This one's called You're Next. So it starts out as, it's like a big family reunion at a mansion. And it starts out as you think it's your typical home invasion type, home attack type movie, which it is. But there's a twist. There's a little bit of like weird kind of dark comedy. And there is some vicious, vicious gore and like just brutal violence. It ends up turning into like a revenge film type thing. And the main protagonist as the movie continues along is this super hot chick with an English accent. It's called You're Next, 2011. You guys got to see this. And if you're a horror fan, you've definitely seen it.
Who's the actress?
She's kind of a no name. So the girl's name, who's the main character, or like pretty much the kind of like the final girl, quote unquote, her name is Sharni Vinson. She's smoking hot, and she just ends up taking control of the movie as it progresses. It's really cool. And the one of the real scary, creepy things about this is the masked, like the intruders, they wear like these pig masks and like these animal masks like over their head. So it's really fucking creepy. But this one's entertaining. But it's got some pretty vicious kills in it. It's a good one.
All right, Tom, for my number eight, I think I'm going to pick the oldest movie on it that we'll ever see on this show.
Do it.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant quality meals. Well, they got the shipment of Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/Pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Awesome.
The original Nosferatu.
Yes. Now,
I got this a long time ago and I can't explain it to you. I know it's black and white. I know it's a silent fucking movie. That fucking guy in that makeup is the spookiest thing. And maybe because it does look like Victorian times because it's done in the 20s and whatever. Yep. So it wasn't that long ago for these people. Yeah, I love it. I like the original Dracula Nosferatu. They didn't have the rights to Bram Stoker's Dracula, and that's why they originally had done it. And it's a silent German movie.
Yep.
So then there's also that fucking movie with Willem Dafoe and John Malkovich called Shadow of the Vampire, and they take the story of making this movie.
Yep.
And like, and just kind of turn it around and flip it upside down and just... It's just fucked up. You should see that movie too as well. But the original Nosferatu scares the fuck out of me.
That's a good one. And then you go back and then you fast forward to Salem's Lot and he kind of total inspiration of looks like Nosferatu, the guy in that. So yeah.
Apparently there's a new Nosferatu movie being made.
There is. Yep.
Right. And it's coming out soon. This should be good. So check that out.
Yep. All right. So the next one I got here is kind of a streamer type movie where I discovered this on, I don't know if it was Shudder or Amazon Prime or something. This one, I saw it recently again. I watched it again and it has definite rewatchability. It's fucking creepy as shit. This one came out in 2014. It's called The Last Shift. And it's actually a pretty creative plot. So it's a story about a rookie cop who has to, there's a police station that's going to be closing permanently. But before it closes permanently, they have to keep it open for this one last shift. So her assignment as a rookie is just to be at this police station and just make sure that nothing happens. There's all the 911 calls have been rerouted to the other station, but they need to keep this open for the night, whatever. They don't really get into explaining that. And again, without giving anything away, shit goes sideways. It gets really dark and really creepy and really like this one's really, really unsettling. There's a little bit of like blood and stuff, but this one really turns up like the scare factor, the spook factor, the creepiness. And the rookie cop, it's a female, and she really does an awesome job playing the role of somebody that's like terrified and scared shitless. Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, it's sounds like I like all the premises of your fucking movies.
Yeah,
they sound like they're gonna scare me, and I'm like, they, I don't know if I want to see.
They it. Are. That's the thing. Like I love a good plot, like a good plot, like almost shit that's almost like reality based in a way. Like, I mean, obviously this movie isn't reality based, but the fact that you could be like in a police station and just be like, yeah, you know, this is the last night. We just need you to stand here and man the phone and make sure nothing happens. And then it goes nuts.
But it's funny because I remember you saying this in last year's episode that those are the type of movies you actually gravitate towards.
Yeah.
Not more like
monsters and stuff.
Yeah. Right. You right. like things that could more or less, it could happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're not just glorious slasher and
right. Those are fun. Those are fun, but they're not scary to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get what you mean.
Yeah.
My movie number 7 is a 2007 movie. You've probably seen it. It's based on a Stephen King short novel, Aren't They All? And that's 1408.
Oh, great one.
Right?
Yes.
And that's with John Cusack and Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes.
Where I guess Cusack is like investigating stupid, like destroying fake haunted mansions and stuff like that. And so he was told just go to, he went to this fictionary New York hotel, just stay out of room 1408, whatever the fuck. Samuel Jackson, like, goddamn snake.
God damn it.
1408. And then obviously he goes in. And then obviously shit fucking happens.
Yep. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a very good one. And just Samuel Jackson can act just with his eyes, just the expression that he gives. And apparently there are like 4 different endings to this movie. Pick the one you like.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's got that spookiness shit and paranormal stuff. So I think people would like that movie. It's a good movie.
I agree. Totally agree. All right, I'm going with an Italian horror movie here. And again, I preface this by saying, if you are a horror fan, you know this movie, you know this director. So this came out in 1977, directed by Dario Argento, a famous Italian horror director. And the movie is Suspiria. So if you're into, so I know I mentioned Asian horror, Spanish horror. Italian horror is really weird because sometimes the stuff is like way over the top with like the violence and the blood, but it's also kind of has like a little bit of a fun factor to it. So this one is, it's an American woman who goes to Germany to go to this like prestigious, like ballet dance academy. And she comes to find out that the dance academy is the front for something else. And it's one of those movies where it's kind of like a slow burn where like you know that something bad is happening and you know that there's something going on in this dance academy, but you don't know what, you don't know who's responsible, what it is, but you're in her shoes and you can like feel like her being like, what the fuck is going on? And when the reveal happens at the end, you're just like, oh man, it's so good. Do not under any circumstances watch the remake. The remake mangled this movie. It's a fucking mess. Don't watch the remake. But check out the original 1977. It's so good. Really, really interesting movie.
That's awesome.
Yeah, right. It's a good one.
Number 6 for me. I'm going old school again, Tom. I'm going with the original Frankenstein movie.
Oh yeah. All right.
1931.
Yep.
It's alive.
So good.
And you know, and look, I love Boris Karloff. I think he's awesome.
Yep.
Big, tall, scary, big, thick eyebrows.
Yep.
Wrench. It's got that guy, Dwight Fry, who was fucking Renfield in the original Dracula. Now yep. He's like Igor. It's got the guy that played Van Helsing. What's his name? Edward Van Sloan. That was the character actor. The guy that plays Dr. Frankenstein, Colin Clive. You see him all the time. Yeah. I got him into him when he was doing fucking from Weird Science clips.
Yeah.
One other little tidbit is great is that they fucking used that Universal stuff when they did Young Frankenstein, Mel Brooks took the same, used the same shit to make it look as spooky. Original Frankenstein, the story, the plot, everything. And that whole thing about Frankenstein and how like over the top it was, like, and they're throwing like flowers into the water, they're throwing flowers at the little
that
girl,
scene.
And then the fucking little chick and like the censors and all that shit about that. It's got a lot of history to it. And I love that there's that rivalry between fucking Karloff and Bela Lugosi.
Yep.
And he's always bitching that, well, he just like moans. He doesn't do anything, but whatever. Fantastic. I love the original Universal horror movies. And I had to throw Frankenstein on the list.
Yeah. Those Universal movies, even if you don't think that they're scary, because, you know, it's almost, it's been almost 100 years. You got to watch. They're so entertaining. They're so well made.
It's just nostalgia.
Yeah.
I fucking love it. It reminds me of Halloween and stuff.
I got the Universal Monsters, like, collection on Blu-ray. I think it's Dracula, Frankenstein, Wolfman, Mummy,
Invisible Man,
Creature from the Black Lagoon. I think it's, they're just, they're such great movies. They're like, they're actual like films.
Yep.
Yeah. They're great.
Yep.
Number six for me, I'm going to cheat a little bit. This might not be the first time I cheat in this episode. I'm going with Paranormal Activity.
Oh, that's a big one.
But I'm going to throw like pretty much the franchise in here because, so I love found footage movies. If they can very easily get fucked up. But when they're done well, I think they're very, very, very effective. Now, the first one took the world by storm because it was very unique. And some people say that it's kind of boring. But the first four movies of this series, they're kind of taken out of order. Like the second one, the part two is like a prequel, part three, but they're all kind of connected. And then they kind of spun off a little bit and did their own things. And then Paramount Plus actually did their an original one called Paranormal Activity Next of Kin, which I actually thought was pretty effective and pretty scary. But I think this series is really well done. I mean, I know some people think they're boring or stupid, but if you don't like found footage, I can see that. But for me, these I never get tired of these. I think if one of them is on, I think they're very well made. I think they're effective. I like to use the word, when I say effective, to me, that means like, they're scary. They do something to me. And I think this series does that a lot.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, they're good.
All right. Number five for me, again, in today's standard, you'd be like, that's not scary. But when it came out, and just the fucking just weirdness of it. And that is The Birds.
Oh God, I fucking hate birds, but I love this movie.
Because we always see that shit. Where you're like, why is there fucking 10,000 birds up there? And they're all super. Because their behavior is always linked to shit that we as humans don't know. Like, what are the birds doing? What's going on? And when they start attacking everybody.
And when they come down and they go swooping, they go, wee, wee, hoo,
wee. Kiar, Kiar. And they, and they bite their horsey in the teeth. Just wild birds. But The Birds, Hitchcock just makes a movie that could be so silly.
But he makes it effective.
And he makes it just, what a story that this fucking lady comes into town and ever something about her thing makes all the birds go nuts.
Dude, that scene of that iconic scene of her like in the phone booth trying to like hide from, and I fucking hate birds on a good day. So I just hate them. So,
or when the people are looking back and there's like fucking millions of them just on like the fucking wire and you're like, what the fuck? Like they can just come in and attack. Just that movie. It's just a great overall movie.
So Zeus doesn't like birds or gorillas. So
scary shit.
Yep. Yep. All right. Number five for me. So I'm going to go old school too here. This one came out the year we were born. 1973, The Wicker Man. Oh man.
I saw the
Don't watch the remake with Nicolas Cage. That was
fucking one of the worst things.
Don't go near the remake with Nicolas Cage. Yeah. So again, like Zeus, I like my old movies too. This one is I'm not gonna say that this is scary. I would describe this as very, very, very unsettling. So this police officer goes out to this island. to investigate what he thinks is like a missing person. And he discovers that this island is kind of, again, not what it seems. The people are kind of odd. They have weird beliefs. And then the conclusion of the movie is just one of the most iconic scenes if you're a horror fan. So it's, again, it's the kind of horror movie where it's kind of makes you anxious and nervous and unsettling. It's like, what the fuck is going on? And you, and this police officer is like, horror movies or thriller movies where the main character is out of their element, to me, is so unsettling, because it's like, if you go someplace and you don't know where you are, or, and you don't know the people, and like you're alone, to me, that's just unsettling. And this is that movie, but this is worth it just for the conclusion alone. And again, do not go near the remake with Nicolas Cage.
I take your word for it.
That's bad. That remake is painful.
Number four for me, this was one of those TV 38 movies.
Oh yeah.
The Movie Loft or something like that. I watched
One
day. It was just on. It is the stupidest movie, but I remember being so grossed out, and it was just so bad.
Oh, no.
It's a 1975 movie called Squirm.
Oh God, dude, I can't stand. Again, all of your nature movies, so gorillas, birds, and worms.
So it's so stupid. But like, worms is some sort of like electrocution, and all these worms come out of the ground and they're fucking eating, killing people and shit. And there's millions of worms everywhere.
The word squirm makes me sick. Just that word. Oh. Fuck!
After an electrical storm causing earthworms to rise to the surface, and it's just fucking nasty.
It's gross. It's gross. And you're right. That was the era when it was like nature takes over. They had horror movies about frogs and like birds. Like it was like all nature run amok type shit. Yeah. Number four for me. So here is one I discovered about. I think this came out in 2021. I discovered this on streaming. Might have been Amazon Prime. I'm not sure. This one, again, I'll use the word effective. The plot was super interesting and creative. It's a movie called The Deep House. And it sounds exactly what it is. So it's the story is about a couple who they do like underwater exploration. So they take this trip to go into this lake area. And they discover that this mansion has been submerged in this lake. Like this lake was like artificially created. And they discover that this house is under the lake. So they start exploring it. So long story short, it turns into a haunted house movie, but the entire movie is underwater. It's super fucked up because they're like battling with their like oxygen levels. Like it. So imagine like a haunted house movie, like, you know, like The Conjuring or something like that, but it's completely underwater.
It's fucked up.
Super, super cool premise and really, really scary.
All right, Tom, I can't believe no one's picked this yet in 2 years.
Do it.
Number three, the original Friday the 13th.
Oh, I just watched that on Friday because it was Friday the 13th.
Sit down. Chair number two. Be right in a minute.
Yep.
All right. So here's the thing.
No Jason.
What scares me the most? Yeah, I actually like it because he was like someone getting their revenge. It has nothing to do with Jason. Jason was just the background story.
Yep.
When the mom shows up.
Oh man.
And then the camera gets on. She's got this like menacing glee of like swinging the fucking axe. I was like,
Yep.
And that actress is just fucking terrifying to me. And yep. I was always like, oh my God, if I ever see this person in person, I'd fucking shit myself.
Yeah.
Unbelievably scary. And that was the first of the horror movies. I was a Friday the 13th guy, not so much a Halloween. I remember those. I don't know. Maybe it was a cable box thing. Maybe one was on Showtime, one was on HBO sometime. But I remember Friday the 13th always being on. And fucking mom when she shows up at the end.
Yep.
What the fuck? Mrs. Freeze.
That first Friday the 13th is honestly, probably the only one in the entire franchise that to me is like legitimately like scary.
It's a story.
You know what I mean? Because it's a whodunit. You don't know who's doing anything until the very end.
Yeah.
And it's really well made. It's like, it's creepy. Like the rest of them are like fun to watch, but they're not
also
scary.
Okay. So all of a sudden Jason, who drowned in the fucking water 10 years later, has been living in the woods by himself as a 13-year-old boy.
We could do a whole podcast on the Friday the 13th franchise if you want to do that, but
and the stupidity of it all. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. Oh my God. Very dumb. But I agree with you. The first one, totally legit. I love it.
Fucking mom. Holy fuck.
Yep. All right. My number three, and I'm going to go to a classic from the 80s.
Ooh.
And this has some scares, a lot of laughs, incredible effects for the time, where you might think if you watch it now or if your kids watch it now, they might be like, this is fucking stupid. But when it came out in 1985, we loved it. And that's the original Fright Night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love that movie. So fun. Such a great story. It's almost like Rear Window. The kid Charlie thinks his neighbor is a vampire. You know, nobody believes him. They think he's crazy. His girlfriend ends up getting taken in with him. His best friend ends up getting taken in with him. You know, it's got real like nasty, like practical effects, you know, none of the CGI shit, because it was 1985. It's really, really fun movie. Again, if you're a horror
it's got
fan,
Marcy from next door from the Bundys.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Right.
Roddy McDowell plays like a character from like a TV show. Super fun movie. I love that. I still like that one to this day. I remember that was a big one when we were like cable and like VCR, like rental shit. Good one.
Sarandon's a Grecian fellow.
Yeah.
And he just come off only a couple years earlier playing Al Pacino's gay lover in Dog Day Afternoon.
Oh, geez, that's right. Movie. That's great, right. Yeah. Movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that movie.
Yep.
Fucking okay, Marcy Darcy. All right. Number two, Tom. Another classic. I can't believe we waited this long. And that is the original Psycho.
Oh, dude. One of the best.
The premise, way ahead of its time.
Yep.
Just that fucking. Even just the image of him, the poster and the stuff, when he's looking down, his head is down, but his eyes are up like, I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
And that scene at the end, when the like the mom comes out, wink, wink. I'm not going to say in case you know what's seen it.
Yep.
Is just like.
Yeah.
When that came out in the 60s and they start explaining it to people, like the end when the cop is just narrating. And just also in the beginning part, the shower scene, which is beyond legendary. Like, you're like, now what? Wasn't that like the main story?
Exactly. Just like Scream almost. Yeah.
Right.
Think about it. And that movie's over 60 years old, and it is still, I'll use the word again, effective to this day.
Yeah. And still, he didn't have to overdo it. It's just great storytelling.
Brilliant movie.
And then his twin ended up going to Stonehill and living with Chuck Bashan.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Todd.
That kid looked like.
He looked like Norman Bates.
Yes,
he was Norman Bates. He was Anthony Perkins.
Just like him.
Yeah, he was Anthony Perkins.
Yes.
that's a great poll right there for you.
Poor guy died of AIDS, Anthony Perkins. AIDS.
Oh, okay, I'm glad you clarified that it was Anthony Perkins who died of AIDS.
I don't know. Maybe he did too, but but I'm just saying.
God. All right.
Number two for you.
Yeah, number two for me. So I'm going to go deep again with a streaming movie that I discovered. And this came out in 2019. Incredibly running theme of my movies, original plot, original premise. This is a movie called The Cleansing Hour. Okay. It's a movie about these guys who do a TV show, and it's like a reality show, and the show is based on them doing like exorcisms, you know, like dealing with spirit, and it's fake, it's a hoax, and as a viewer you know that these guys are scammers. Well, come to find out, they do one, and it's not a scam. It's not a hoax. Now, exorcism-type movies, to me, are very easy to fuck up. They can either be really, really good or super cheesy and corny and be like, this is stupid. Because everybody always, you always go back to the original Exorcist from the 70s. Yeah. This one is so good. I don't want to give too much away. Again, it's available on streaming. If you're into these kind of possession movies, this one is so damn good. It's excellent. I can't recommend enough if you're into possession movies.
Nice.
Yep.
The Cleansing Hour.
Yes.
All right. Number one is a movie that you could do a fucking 50-part documentary on.
Okay.
We all know it. We all love it. It is so, like, deep. There's so many things happening that you're like, what the fuck? But when you get down to it, it's one guy's acting performances that just fucking puts it over the top. And that's The Shining.
Oh, God, yeah. My God.
I don't know what part we should talk about. Like, that again, we could do fucking a series on this. What yep. part? When the girl comes out of the fucking water and all of a sudden she turns into the old lady? The two twins? The fucking... Yep. Red rum, and then you don't know what the fuck he keeps saying, and all of a sudden the mirror's
on the door. Yep.
And then the fucking two little sister, twin sisters.
Yeah.
Or his fucking fake conversations in the bathroom.
The movie's insane.
You've always been the caretaker.
You've always been the caretaker.
And caretaker. Yeah. And they're just like, you can watch YouTube after YouTube after YouTube clip breaking this fucking. Taking the story of Stephen King, and I don't care what he says in Bitches. I know they did a different version of it later, his yep. own TV type movie version of it. What fucking What's in Call It did made it better, in my yep. opinion. I'm sorry.
I agree. And if you're interested in something really fun, there's a documentary. There's a movie called Room 237 that came out. Came out in 2012.
Is that with fucking Florence from the Jeffersons and no,
that's 227
and Smitty from who, Sanford and
who,
Son?
Who with Jack A?
And Smitty from Sanford and Son.
So it's a movie called Room 237, and all it is a documentary about people with their various interpretations of the movie and their conspiracy theories. Oh, Stanley Kubrick was actually talking about the moon landing when he wrote this movie. Oh, he's talking about that. It's so cool. But anyways, get back to The Shining itself. Fucking amazing.
How about the little background stories? Like, because you remember seeing this movie. Like, I've seen this movie at least 15, 20 times.
Oh, yeah.
It's on TV, you stop and you watch it.
But you have to. Yeah.
How about the different times you probably watch in your life? And you're like, what the fuck is that?
Yep.
The fucking guy in the costume when he walks by.
Oh, my God. Dude, I still don't know how that is.
And the animal costume, and he's like, fucking.
I still don't know.
It's all the bestiality and all the fucking, like, child rape that was going on in that fucking hotel.
Yeah.
All sorts of fucked up shit that was happening supposedly there.
Yep.
And then I'm like, well, wait a minute. Who's the caregiver? Is it the guy that fucking is cleaning him up in the bathroom? And then there's the picture of him back at the end. And then you're like, what the fuck? Who is it? And you're like, is it time traveling or is it his spirit that's always been there?
Is it Scatman Crothers?
I remember Scatman Crothers because he's done a million things in the 80s and stuff.
Yeah.
And he was a Transformer voice. I remember because he was like the first Transformer toy really? I had. And I used to watch the Transformers cartoon and he did one of the voices.
Wow. That's good trivia.
Yeah.
Wow.
But The Shining is just, again, we could dissect this all day. Just yep. fucking brilliance.
Yep. All right. So again, these aren't in any order, but this is number one for me. Again, movies that to me have the potential of really happening, and Home Invasion is probably, other than probably my house catching on fire, Home Invasion is probably the most terrifying thing I could ever imagine in my life. And in my opinion, no other movie has ever captured the terror of a home invasion better than the movie The Strangers from 2008. First of all, the characters, the different masks that they're wearing, the way that the movie is such a slow, anxiety-inducing burn. You know, they ring the doorbell and they ask for somebody. Oh, you have the wrong house. You know, they look out the window. The people are just terrifying shit. And it's got one of the great lines in any horror movie. And Liv Tyler is one of the main characters. Yeah. And you know, they're sitting there in the chairs and they say, why are you doing this to us? And the girl goes, because you were home. Like that right there is just like, it's just fucking terrifying. And it's that's the kind of shit. I'm like, I can't do that. But scary as shit. I mean, some people find it boring, but to me, those movies, some people need horror. Some people need constant action, you know, constant killing, constant violence.
Why? Because I think they're so scared. They'd rather have that constantly so they don't have time to think.
To feel. You don't have time to think.
And build up that anxiety.
Like, exactly.
Dude, yep. These people going to fucking, like, you start becoming like them. Are these people going to come in? Where the fuck are, why don't you call them the cop? Like,
right.
What, do you have a gun? Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, your mind starts racing. You start feeling like those people.
Yes.
There's murders all around and that guy gets killed in the cabin. Right. That guy, you're like, all right.
Yeah, like Friday the 13th, Part 7 is not scary. Okay, it's. I mean, it might that be one fun.
The dog pisses on Jason's grave and gets hit by lightning, and he comes out of the dead or something like that.
Freddy versus Jason. Yeah, we're not going to get into that stupidity.
Jason takes Manhattan and fights like gangs. Gang.
The only good thing about Jason Takes Manhattan is he fights a guy on the roof of a building and punches the guy so hard his head falls off. It's fucking so stupid. It's so stupid.
Oh, God.
But anyways,
this was a lot of fun. Guys, check out the movies. Tell us what you think. Tell us if we missed something. And we'll get back to this. This is going to be a tradition. Tom loves his horror movies. So I'm happy we did this again. Our first annual type episode on Dorm Damage. And this was a doozy. So till next time. Peace out, Girl Scout.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.